Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. What the Spirit does. Amen. You know, there's nothing as funny or as terrible as an ignorant Christian. In fact, ignorance itself isn't good. There are some ignorance that is fine. Ignorance of evil, for example, is good. Paul says when it comes to evil, be children. Right? 1 Corinthians 14:20. When it comes to evil, be a child. That be ignorant of evil. But when it comes to very important things about Christianity, you cannot be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have ignorant. There are things you can be ignorant about. Ignorance is not good. Hallelujah. It's not good at all. It's you can't even compare it. And sometimes the ignorance is not because you don't have information. You may have the wrong information. I remember in 1996, there was this brother. Somehow I didn't notice, but I don't know why I didn't notice, because we had worked together between 92, late 92 really, and maybe early 93. We'd done something together, but I didn't notice. I didn't see him for a while. So he came around about early 96. So he came to our fellowship meetings then, and I found out that he had not received the baptism with the Holy Ghost, while he wasn't speaking in other tongues. So I asked him, Brother Solomon, what's going on? He said, well, and he's been born again since 1986. So I said, what's going on? He said, well, he was waiting for the right time. I said, what's the right time? He said, he never completed his sanctification. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, you know, we have to take away the root of sin, that the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in someone who has sin in his life. Now that argument is so funny, because getting born again at all is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not save somebody who is without sin. The very fact that the Holy Spirit is the one that was given to. So he got it wrong. But he had been waiting. The point is, 10 years. 10. So in 10 years, he didn't know he had the Holy Ghost. In 10 years. Now, you know what 10 years is? Do you know how many services he must have attended in 10 years? And he was a very faithful brother. Very faithful and loyal brother. So he wasn't missing church. So he would be in church every Sunday, every Monday Bible study then, every Thursday revival hour, workers meeting, Sunday service. And he didn't have an idea that he had the Holy Ghost. And you'll see other people, you know, talk about the Holy Ghost, and they'll be wondering, when shall I see my home? You know, and it'll be like that for 10 years. 10. That's a long time, right? But he just didn't know. And I told him, I said, you waited in vain. So I showed him from the Word. I said, even if you were going to wait, like those people that Jesus asked to wait, which is actually the baptism of the Holy Ghost, really, Luke 24:49. I said they waited for less than 10 days. Did you translate your own to 10 years? That's how we laid hands on you. That day, just that day. You know that somewhere he has taught that tongues. The way the tongues came out, aggressively. Then he started to jump. And we're renting the chairs. We're renting the school for the meetings. So what? I said, don't break the chairs. I was the one that sent you. 10 years. 10 years. You find believers like that. They just don't know. You must be, you see, Christianity itself is a supernatural walk with God. So if you don't know the supernatural walk of Christianity, then you don't know Christianity at all. So people assume that Christianity is just a change of conduct. You used to be a bad person. You're no longer a bad person. So you are now trying to go to heaven. So now, because you are now trying to go to heaven, you change what you used to wear. So they don't identify anything supernatural with Christianity. So in the coming weeks, which today, next week, the week after, and of course the camp meeting, we will be having meetings that will introduce us, stir us. And I sense in my heart that what we'll have, and just a few minutes ago it was re-emphasized, that we're going to have renewals of the Spirit. Some of us don't know what a renewal of the Spirit is. You know, when Paul said to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift of God. Stir up is a renewal. Which is, you know, to be refired. Not to be like as of old. Alright? But much more. So you're going to have such times. And so as a church, we have times like that in the year where we just re-emphasize those things. Because we are a word and spirit church. Hallelujah. We're a word and spirit church. Of course, there's really no distinction between the word and spirit, but for purpose of clarity, we're a word and the spirit church. So when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, I would not have ignorance. There are different kinds of meetings. Hallelujah. There are different kinds of meetings. I didn't know that as a younger Christian. Thank God for people like he again, who let us see that there are different kinds of meetings. There are different kinds. You must know. Dr. Miles Monroe used to say that when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. You find some people go for a prayer meeting, and when they get to the prayer meeting, they'll just be singing. They'll just be singing. I remember someone, she had told me, we were mates in primary school, so we got to meet later on. But then she said to me, we're university then, she said, oh, that her dad, so her father, she was in the ministry. And I was in the ministry. So, oh, great. So, she said our dad was in the cult. That she wanted us to pray for the dad's salvation. So, I assume she knew what it meant to pray for someone's salvation. So, we set out to meet to pray one evening at the university campus. So, we wanted to pray. And I said, okay, let's pray. And she told me a bit of what the dad said. Okay, let's pray. I said, wow, seriously, let's pray. So, as soon as we started praying, she said, oh, Father, I thank you. Because his heart is yours. Oh, Father, I thank you. Because he's born again. So I paused. So I waited. I thank you, Father, because he is saved. Because, so I said, are you done? He said, yes. Can we pray? Hallelujah. He says, prayer with supplication together with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6. Prayer, there's prayer and supplication. There's thanksgiving. It's not the same thing. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, prayers, intercession, supplication, and giving of thanks. So I said, let's pray. So I shared a bit with her in a few minutes, and we began to pray. Then you know what? The funny thing was that as we began to pray for the dad, she started to have tears. I said, hey, now you are praying. Because when you are praying like that, there will be a burden. God's burden for the person will be rolled onto you by his spirit. We began to pray with tears. I said, hey, giving up that is different. See, sometimes we mix things up. You need to know the difference. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So there are different kinds of meetings. Like I said, Dr. Miles Monroe will say, where the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. Have you ever seen someone handle something that he didn't know what it was, what it's meant for? They say, what is this one for? Imagine if someone should, let me put an idea. Someone should, you get home and someone comes to, you just open the microwave oven in your kitchen, and then you found out that someone kept his books in it. And he said, why did he say, I felt that the thing, it's safe. Like it's safe. No, it's not a safe. It's to, you know, make sure the food is okay for you. And you look at the person and wonder, where did you come from? I'm sure you are from Jabujesha. You know, no, because that's not the purpose of the thing. There are different kinds of meetings. Hallelujah. There are different kinds of meetings. You must know. Sometimes people invite me to speak, and I ask them, what kind of meeting is it? They say, it's a convention, sir. I said, I know. I saw the flyer. I mean, a convention. I said, I know. What kind of meeting? They say, ah, sir, it's a program. I know it's a program. What kind? What's the purpose? It's just for people to be blessed, sir. There are different kinds of meetings. Hallelujah. Alright? There are prayer meetings. There are prayer meetings. Glory to God. A prayer meeting is when we pray. All we do is pray. It's not the kind of meeting you get there, then you take half of the day to sing. Say, we are saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. In prayer meetings, you pray. Jesus said to the disciples, would you not tarry with me for an hour? That is, you wait. In that kind of praying, you wait. You pray. The major thing you do is pray. There are different kinds of meetings. And we have such meetings here. The prayer groups. We come together and we pray. We are what we pray about. And when we are done with praying, then we give thanks. Hallelujah. There are prayer meetings. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 3 verse 1, Peter and John went to the temple in the hour of prayer. They had an hour of prayer. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 verse 24, remember, when the apostles were threatened by the chief priests and the elders, they went back to their own company, reported all that the elders and the chief priests had said, and they lifted up their voice in one accord. Acts 4:24. In one accord. In such a meeting like that, he said, there was noise in the place. The place was shaking together. Acts 4:30 and 31. Prayer meetings. Acts 12:5. When Peter was in prison, the whole church, in supplication, prayed to God. That's a prayer meeting. There's a prayer meeting. In a prayer meeting, what we do is pray. Praise the Lord. In different games. If you are playing football and a guy should handle the ball, and he say, didn't that other person handle the ball? That's the goalkeeper. So, and he handled the ball right there in the penalty box. You look at him, they paid you. Because that's not the rule. But if the ball goes out, then he takes the ball to throw it. That's the rule. So there are rules like that, even to Christian meetings. There are prayer meetings. Number two, there are teaching meetings. What do I call it? Teaching meetings. In teaching meetings, the emphasis is a study of scriptures, where we study the Bible. In teaching meetings, we study. Matthew 5:2, Jesus began to teach. And look at how he taught. He taught so exhaustively from Matthew 5:2 to Matthew 7:28-29. Where the people were astonished, Matthew 7:28-29, at his doctrine. For he didn't speak like one of the scribes, but he spoke as one who had authority. You know, when he took the people out to the wilderness, John 6, Bible says he was there for 3 days or 4 days. He was there teaching them for 3 days. Teaching and teaching. In Acts 20, when Paul was teaching, he taught from evening to the next morning. That's a teaching service. What do we do in such services? We just open the Word of God. We learn the Word of God. We study the Word of God. I believe that's the first meeting, really. Because it's from what we learn in the Word of God that we know how to pray and what to pray about. The teaching service. And usually, most church Sunday services are teaching services. Or let's say, much of the contents are teaching services. Bible study. Bible study. Study of the Word of God. So we have teaching services. So you must ask yourself, what service are we about to have? Is it a prayer meeting? You don't get to a prayer meeting, then use the time to be opening the Bible. Some people do that. They say they have prayer points. Then you have a 40 minutes prayer meeting, Then we use 20 minutes to explain the prayer point. Then we pray for 10 minutes. Then we give thanks for 10 minutes. That is lacking purpose in the way you are teaching or what you are doing. So we have prayer meetings. We have teaching meetings. We also have what we can call evangelistic meetings. In evangelistic meetings, what we do basically is to go out and preach. Go out and reach people. Go out and take the gospel to people. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Such meetings are usually done outside the church, where we go out to the unsaved people. We call it outreach. We call it evangelism. But it's a meeting, because where two or three are gathered, since you have gone to one person, that is a meeting. Is that very clear? It doesn't have to have lights and keyboard and all that playing in the background. The moment you have one person with you, that is a Christian meeting. The only difference is, it's an outreach evangelistic meeting. And the focus of that is that you are sharing the gospel. The intention of such meetings is to have such people receive the gospel and believe it and be saved. We have evangelistic meetings. So let's start again. We have prayer meetings, right? What we do there is what? Pray. What do we pray for? We pray for all saints. Ephesians 6:18. You pray for all believers. 1 Timothy 2:1. You pray for all men, including those who are in authority. 1 Timothy 2:1. What do you pray for? You pray for those who are our leaders, who are preachers of the gospel. Colossians 4:3. Ephesians 6:19. What do we pray for? We pray for people who are in the ministry. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. That they are preserved. What do we pray for? Well, we consult prayer meetings. Matthew 9:37-38. We pray the Lord of the harvest will send for laborers into his own harvest. That's what we pray for in prayer meetings. We pray for one another. Hallelujah. James 5:14-15. We pray at 16. We pray for one another. So we can help. Well, let's pray for this brother. Just like Acts 12:5, they prayed for Peter. We pray. We pray for our nation. We pray for those in authority. We pray for those who are over us in the Lord, preachers of the gospel. We pray for all believers. We pray for the sick. James 5:13-14. We pray for the sick. So that's a prayer meeting. In a teaching meeting, we study the scriptures. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Luke 24:27, expounds them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. We teach the word. In an evangelistic meeting, we take the gospel to the unsaved. Like I said earlier, usually that takes place outside the church. And it can just be two of you. Now listen carefully. All these meetings can take place between two people. Or three people. Two. Just two people. So when you go out to do evangelism, it's a Christian meeting. What do I call it? What do I call it? So when you are going out for evangelism, you are going for a Christian meeting. It's not a gist time. Because he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So if you are there to preach the gospel, are you there in his name? You are there in his name. So there you are. There he is, pardon me. In your midst. Evangelistic meetings. What else do we have? Number four. We have healing meetings. Where we go out to heal the sick. Now, usually, that is very vital. The evangelistic meeting and the healing meeting can happen together with the teaching meeting. In Luke 5:17, for example, Jesus is teaching, and the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick. Luke 5:17. The power of the Lord was present to heal. So by the way of teaching, you can have people healed. By the way of teaching. But then there's a deliberate one where you go out to heal the sick. Now usually, when you go out to preach the gospel to the evangelistic meeting, it occurs together with a healing meeting. Just like when Jesus sent out the 12 in Luke 9 verse 1 and 2, he sent them out to preach, but he gave them power over unclean spirits and to heal sickness and diseases. So when we go out to preach, we have you seen, I don't know if you have had the experience, you want to preach the gospel and you have reason to pray for the sick. Let me see your hand. Oh, my serious. Let me see your hand. You went to preach and then you had to minister to someone who was sick. Let me see your hand. Okay, you notice that it's not like you went to pray for the sick, but you went to preach, and because you went to preach, then you found someone who was sick. But there are times that you just go to pray for the sick. James tells us, he says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, and anointing will call in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. James 5, 13, 14, and 15. So you can go to pray for the sick, to minister to the sick. Jesus went to the house of Jairus, Mark 5, to pray, to minister to the sick. In Matthew chapter 8, the centurion said, you should come over, Jesus said, you come over to his house to heal the sick. So he was going there to heal the sick. So you can go to a place to just heal the sick. Someone can say, well, I have this fellow who's been bedridden for 8 days, can you come pray for him? So that is a healing meeting. Hallelujah. So it doesn't have to be a large number of people. You could be 2, you could be 3, you could be 4, you could be 5, and you could be 5,000. Hallelujah. It's a healing service. So let's take it again. We have 1. Let's go. Prayer meeting. What do we do? And what do we pray for? Believers, ministers, our leaders, our nation. One another, right? Good. Number 2 meeting. What do we study? We study the scriptures. That's the focus that we have. Number 3. That's where you go for evangelism. Where 2 or 3. That is a meeting. Is that very clear? Number 4. A healing service where you just go to minister to the sick. Number 5. We can have a workers meeting. Hallelujah. Just like today after the second service, we're going to have a workers meeting. A workers meeting. Now that's a special meeting. Because there are times that Jesus will have things to say, but he won't say it to everybody. He will speak to the crowd. Then when it comes to a point, he will just call the 12. Hallelujah. And sometimes he's not calling the 12, he'll call just 3 out of the 12. Then sometimes he won't just call the 3, he'll just call 1. Just 1 person. When he rose from the dead, for example, he didn't appear to everybody. He appeared to certain people and he was with them for 40 days. And none of them went out to say, guy, my guy, Jesus, don't show. But don't tell anybody. Everybody kept it on the wraps. He said, keep quiet for now. So such meetings are special meetings. You know, today we are in a very interesting times where people can virtually record anything. Anything. Some will come to church with a recorder and they'll record things said in the service. And I'm asking, why do you have to do that? Since the church already does that and they release it, you know, they say, well, I'm just thinking, no, it's wrong. Jesus had times he would tell disciples, say this to no one. Imagine if some of us were there, not in this church, you say, what's he trying to hide? I don't believe in that. That's not a good kind of Christianity. How can Jesus be doing that kind of Christianity? What's he trying to hide? I don't believe in this. You just get on Facebook, disclaimer. This is I speaking against the practice of Jesus. Where he says we should not tell everything. So there are workers meetings. Praise the Lord. Where because of what you do, right, you are called into a meeting. In the day of Pentecost, we were 120. And that's because of who they were. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, for example, we find Paul calling for, verse 17, he called for the elders of the church. That's a select group of people. I have meetings that I do with just the workers. Some with just the leaders. Some with the leaders of the leaders. Some with the leaders of the leaders of the leaders. Hallelujah. There's some meetings I do with people who oversee churches. There are things I will say there that I can't even say to you. Why? Because you don't have that kind of responsibility. So there are different kinds of meetings. You must ask yourself, what kind of meeting is this? For example, if I'm speaking in a meeting of leaders, where I know I'm just one of them, I use we, not you. That means I know the purpose of the meeting. So we have workers' meetings. Now there's another kind of meeting. Now how many do you have? Yeah, let's go. Number one. Workers' meetings. Now one other kind of meeting, it's called a Holy Ghost meeting. Holy Ghost or believers' meeting. Holy Ghost or believers' meeting. Now, what's the unique thing about that? In a Holy Ghost and believers' meeting, right, we allow more room. Now, other meetings will have these things also, but a greater room for the demonstrations of the gifts of the Spirit. For the demonstrations of the gifts of the Spirit. One unique feature of it also is that we have more individual participation. More individual participation. Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 1. Turn there very quickly. Acts 2 verse 1 to 4. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the writer Luke says, we are all in one place, in one accord. Notice the word all. All. In one place, in one accord. And verse 2 says, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now, verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled up where they were. Notice that he has a collective phrase. All, verse 1. They, verse 2. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them, right? Cloven tongues as a fire. Notice it's they, all, them. So in a Holy Ghost meeting, I'm going to verse 4 in a moment, we are all involved. Now notice this, that usually, what people call Holy Ghost meetings or believers' meetings is not what it is. Where you have a pastor, he comes. Now, I can do that. A pastor comes and he ministers to everybody. I'm going to be doing that at some point, either today or later in the month or at the camp meeting or on Wednesday. But I'm just going to follow how I'm led this morning. But you see, where the pastor comes and he calls the sick, he ministers to them, he ministers by the word of knowledge and by the word of wisdom. Now, everybody is involved in that too because we are receiving you, we're getting blessed and all of that. Then he teaches, then we rejoice and flow in joy and we leave. That's not pretty what it is. That's pretty what it is. What it ought to be is that everyone has something to do and say and to receive from one another. And I'm of the opinion that a large majority of the church world I know are yet to understand this one. Because, you know, look at it again. They were all. Someone say all. All of them. So, in a Holy Ghost believers meetings, everyone is participating. And it's not that everyone is receiving as much as also everyone is ministering something. Say this morning. And here say this morning. I have to minister. Glory to God. That is the Holy Ghost believers meeting. Now, someone did argue with me, and I probably will submit to it, that, well, he believes that I normally put Holy Ghost and believers meetings together. I said, I know. He thinks I should separate them. That the Holy Ghost meetings, that the ministry gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teachers, are the ones ministering. that in a believer's meeting, that all believers minister. Now, the reason why I don't do that. Now, I used to teach like that in the 90s. I said, because I am much more now pointed and much more frank in saying that the ministry gifts are for all believers. So that is where we differ. So I won't make that this dichotomy. I will say no, because that's my persuasion from the word, and I've not been able to see anyone to persuade me otherwise. That the ministry gifts are for the church. Now, where we mature and hold responsibilities, yes, I agree, we have distinctions, but the gifts of God, if it's Ephesians 4:11, 1 Corinthians 12:28, and Romans 12:4-6, they are believers. So, I will say, they are Holy Ghost believers. Who follow what I'm saying this morning? Raise your hand, very well. So, in such meetings, everyone, all of us, new convert, old convert, semi-old convert, grand, you know, some people think they are the grandchildren of the faith. Some think they are grand uncles. Everyone is doing something. Look at verse 4. And they were all filled with, what? And began to speak, as the Spirit gave the word. They were all. So in the Holy Ghost believers meetings, how many are involved? How many are involved? Now, if we have a Holy Ghost believers with us right now, are you going to get involved?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
You're going to get involved. You're going to get involved. Which means that a characteristic of a Holy Ghost believers with us is that you are not a spectator. Those unbelievers are spectators. Say, ah, come and see church today. Hey! There was somebody who was just singing a psalm. The thing was just flowing. How that guy was just, the thing was just flowing. Come on. That's not good enough. Hallelujah. Say, I'm born of God's Spirit. Say, I'm born of God's Spirit. I participate.
I participate
in the things of the Spirit. Glory to God. You are not a spectator. You're not a spectator. What we do in believers' meetings is that we see to do. If I see someone do something, I simply replicate it. The way the flow of the Spirit happens in believers' meetings is, as soon as she does something, he sees it. He knows he's also full of the Holy Ghost. So what someone does becomes an example. Is not a spectacle. An example. Hallelujah. So when someone does something, it becomes an example. So when you say they were all, it's not like, let me explain it to you. In the Holy Ghost, they were all, maybe everybody was just sitting there, and then suddenly, boom, boom, boom. Then everybody has to get the time, like, what do I call it? No, usually, somebody starts, then we all join in. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, that also happens in prayer meetings. You just join in. You just join in. Why are you able to join in? Because you have the same Spirit. Hallelujah. See, I've got the same Spirit. See, I've got the same Spirit. Why are you able to join? Because you have the same Spirit. So, in the Holy Ghost, and I'm convinced that that's the highest level of Christian meetings. That's how God wants it. Remember, in Numbers 11, I'm coming there shortly anyway, when Moses told the Lord that he couldn't bear the burden of Israel alone. He said, okay, get 70 elders, you know, let them stand with you, I'll take the Spirit that's upon you and put it upon them. And Moses did that. Now, what now happened? The Lord now made 768 actually began to speak, began to prophesy. There were two other guys, Heldad and Medu, they were somewhere else. So Joshua, Moses' assistant, saw those two that they were also prophesying, but they were not in the same place. So he ran to Moses and said, Lord, my master, there are two guys, they are not in the service. They are not in 608. And they are prophesying. Moses said, are you envying for my sake? What? That all his people be prophets. That is, the mind of God is that all his people be prophets. All. Someone say all. So when Joel gets, I will pour out my spirit, Joel 2:28, upon all flesh. He's not saying anything new. He's already renewing what God has said before. Because that is what is in the mind of God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So the believers' Holy Ghost meetings is where we all participate. Now, why does it not happen that some don't participate? Number one is ignorance. Some don't know. They just don't know. I told you about that brother. Now, years ago, some 25 years ago, I went to speak in Southern Africa. And I got to this church. And the very first day I'm speaking, and I just noticed that there was something very, very cold. Not like your own cold this morning. I can see how you're feeling. I can see you already, alright? They were cold. You know, when he's kind of, you know, just like you are talking like you are throwing something at the wall, it's bouncing back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just noticed that, you know, it wasn't just responses. I just knew something was really dry. So after the service, it was a two session. So I called the pastor, the bishop. I said, sir, what do you preach about the Holy Ghost? Because I wanted to find out. Because there's no people filled with the Holy Ghost that are not fervent. You will see it. You will call it excitement. It's not excitement. There's something about, like the song we sang, there's a fire to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You cannot be full of the Holy Ghost and not be zealous. So I said, what do you think about, what do you say about the Holy Ghost? So he told me their doctrine. Their doctrine was that you have to stay some years to wait for the Holy Ghost, be sanctified, then go through baptismal classes, then go to, I said, that's great. The man didn't know what I meant by great. How did I say, your ignorance is great? I didn't add ignorance. I just said, that's very great. So he said, okay. So I came in the evening and began to speak from the book of Acts. How that the gift of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for everybody. As I was opening the Word of God, of course, I prayed before I came. And as I was sharing the Word of God, I could see in their eyes. They were checking the text. You could literally say, they were looking at it. And I could feel behind me, the leaders were not really feeling fine. Because I was breaking the shackles of ignorance. I said, no! You don't have to be saved 7 years. Those who got born again in the book of Acts, within a few days, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. There was an instance, as they were getting saved, they were being filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 19, after sharing those things, you could see it. I said, there is no qualification for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but to be a sinner. And as I said that, I said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the evidence speaking in other tongues, come out. So they came out in their numbers. Not a book of numbers. Amen. That's not a good place now. In their numbers. And the bishop and the leaders right behind me. They felt I was going to call them so that we would lay hands together. Who will call that kind of person? Always watch the person you call to lay hands. A friend of mine called me to speak one day. So he asked me to come and break debt. That some people are owing debt in his church. That he come and break the debt by laying hands. He called the wrong person. So as I laid hands, I'll say, go pay your debt. Go pay your debt. I told him, I said, go, be industrious, be hardworking, save money and pay your debt, okay? So as I laid hands, he didn't know what I was selling them. He thought I was telling them, it shall be done, it shall be done. He called the wrong person to lay hands. So always watch the person you call to lay hands. Alright. So, and I had my friend there, Reverend Matthew. I said, Reverend Matthew, we're going to lay hands on this guy. He said, no problem. He used to call me prof. No problem, prof. So let's go ahead. So we began to lay hands. So we're laying hands. You could see the way the people spoke in tongues. It had aggression. With, you know, when you speak in tongues with capital letters. His own name weren't nice at all. As they spoke in tongues, they now walked past the bishop. I knew that was my last day there, you know. But I've done my job, okay? But you will see, as soon as the word was preached, the whole place lit up. Thank God for the word. I said, thank God for the word. The whole place lit up. Glory to his name. So the first reason why people don't participate, ignorance. They don't know. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. That's what Paul said. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 19, when he went to Ephesus, he found 7 disciples and he asked them in verse 2, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we've not heard whether there be any. That's strange. We've never, whether there be any. Say, unto what then were you baptized? Say, unto John's baptism. Say, John really baptized, baptized the repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, that should come after him, verse 4, on Jesus Christ. And as he heard those things, verse 5, Acts 19, you were baptized in the name of the Lord. Verse 6, then Paul now laid his hands on them. So always cure ignorance. Are you here? Always cure the ignorance part. The second reason why people don't get to flow in the things of the Spirit. Now, ignorance can also be they told you the wrong things. Some people can tell you the wrong things. You know, last week, I was sharing something on Facebook about how the day the Archbishop Ida was a pastor, the founder of the Church of God Mission, some of you probably don't know him, was the day we began a camp meeting in Ibadan there in 1998, March 12th. And I remember, I was not a Christian when I was told that the Archbishop Idausa was a man of the devil that was in the cult. I was not even born again. So they are told that man that anybody that wears Agbada as a pastor is a fake pastor. I didn't know, so I just felt, the minute I see Agbada, I just turn on, fake pastor. But that day, I was in the living room of our family house. And my brother, he was bedridden for weeks, I think. So I tuned to OGTV, Idahosa and you. So I saw the man. For the first time, I said, let me hear him. Because the Agbada, my father wears Agbada now. My uncles wear Agbada. I also wear my small Agbada. So what's the problem? So the man, as he began to speak, I didn't even know the sermon. He just said, there's someone watching me now. And he mentioned that I was with my brother in our family house. Then he said, your town is near Jebodi Ogun State. Eh? He said, lay hands on him right now. My brother was sleeping. He said, say in the name of Jesus. That was my first time of praying for the sick and I was not born again. He said, say in the name of Jesus. Say in the name of Jesus. Get up. I said to my brother, he got up. He said, it's fine. And he got healed. Now, that means I had heard the wrong information. Somebody told me the way I'm not, said, I don't want to speak in tongues. I said, why? He said, because, they said what is common today is satanic tongues. I said, it takes Satan to know satanic tongues. It must be Satan who told you. You got the wrong information. Number 2, why do people not flow in the things of the Spirit? Condemnation. What did I call it? Confirmation. They feel like, I don't think I'm worthy of this. I don't think, and condemnation can be so deep. It can be something that the person had done years ago before he got saved or she got saved. It can be something that, you know, there was someone like that was just fasting. And I said, why are you fasting? He said, it's between me and God. Okay, I just left it alone. Fasting. The person will just be walking and fasting between me and God. Come, what did you do? Say, sir, I don't want to say it. I said, why? Aren't you telling God? He said, yes, that's why it's between me and God. How? And the person has stayed long fasting. So, oh God, oh God. So one day I said, you are not going anywhere till you tell me what you did. What did you did? What could you have did that David did not did? What did you did? When she said it, it was just a thought against God that she said. A thought. Somebody that not even think and did. He's been using them. You are only thinking. So I said to the person, I said, let me share my own thoughts with you. I said, yes. I said, you are just making the devil useless in your life. I mean, people like, they just feel, ah, God, God. No. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all sins. Amen. And you have his gift of righteousness. You have his gift of forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. A sense of condemnation. And then there are many of us, we have a word of knowledge from God, a word of wisdom, but we can't give it because we're not even sure that God can give us such a thing. Hey, me cares. Me. Who am I? Chop! Keep quiet. Even David. Hey, David. Now, sin is wrong. A Christian shouldn't enjoy sin or live in it. But here we have David. He went to the Lord. He said, Lord, he had orchestrated murder, adultery, conspiracy. He said, create me a new heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit. He said, you take not your Holy Spirit away from me. Ah. Say, you take not your Holy Spirit from me. You restore to me. That's David. He said, you don't take your Holy Spirit from me. He said, because if you, he said, when you do this for me, and you renew the joy of my salvation, then I'll be able to teach transgressions your way. Can you imagine? He's so confident. He said, ah, you just watch me. I will serve you. I will explain your words. And you are here saying, I don't know. I'm just saying, I told someone one day, person, I don't know how God is going to, I looked at the person like this. So I said, why are you looking at me like that? He said, you're a very arrogant person. Ah, me? Say, you are proud. Ah, me, sir, what did I do? What did he not do? God's forgiven you. You said he has not. Are you not proud? Is that pride? No, it's humility. It's humility. Hallelujah. Say, I'm not proud.
I receive
the gift of God of no condemnation. Say, I have no condemnation. I am in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is at work in me. I have no condemnation. Therefore, I am not in the flesh. I am in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Condemnation. Number three. A refusal to act on the word of God. That's number three. A refusal to act on the word of God. Because if it's not ignorance, it is not condemnation, it's just a refusal. And that could come on different things. A refusal to act on the word. On the word of God. It could be different reasons. One of them could be bad company. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. A preacher once called me years ago. I'm sure 20 years ago. And he said to me, he called me for lunch. So I went to his place to have lunch. We had lunch. So we're talking. He said, I have a problem. I said, what? Now, he had a thriving church. The church is still thriving and doing fine today. So he said, now this is how he said it. He said, my leader, the person who was his mentor, said, my mentor is not particular about the supernatural. He talks down on the gifts of the Spirit. He said, I found out that the gifts of the Spirit that used to work with me in the university has dwindled. He said, just dwindled. Now, this is not walking with an unbeliever. You know, it's easy to say the unbeliever, you know, no, this is with another Christian. In fact, a pastor. He said, just the fact that I listen to him a lot, said, I just don't find the hunger anymore for the things of the Spirit. So I laughed. I said, let me recommend what to do. He said, no. You need to come and hold a meeting in our ministry. Let me get that thing stirred up. Now, that's very wise. Usually, people make the error. Whenever they get to that point where things dwindle, they want to do it on their own. No. You have to go to a meeting. It's 99%. You will have to go to a meeting where the things of the Spirit are demonstrated. Then you'll catch the fire again. So when he told me, now somehow I couldn't do it because there was a reason, something principled. So I now called on someone else that I respect. I said, I'll bring this fellow to you. And you will see the things of the Spirit in demonstration. And he'll get back to you. But the point is, remember, he's just another Christian pastor. So watch who you listen to. Watch what you hang around. If you don't want something in you, don't get it around you. Are you here? Are you following what I'm saying? Don't get it around you. So meetings play a lot of role. I remember your pastors today, when they were in the university, about 20 years ago too. And I went to speak for them. So they had seen, they now came to me in the hotel room. And they said, sir, we really want the things of the Spirit. We want the gifts of the Spirit. I said, organize a 3-day meeting. This is how I told him. I said, I'll give it to you like this free. He said, just organize the meeting. He said, that's all. He said, what do we do? I said, don't do anything. Just come. When you come, you will catch it. And that's been it. Praise the Lord. All right. So, you watch your company. Why are you just not hungry anymore? Naturally, when you go for evangelism, you would be hungry to give a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, but now you just go, you need to be saved though. You know, the earth is his rest place. It's a house story. It's a home story. You're not doing short explanation, and the person has needs, and you just, someone say, there's this problem I have, I'm sick. He says, sick? Have you been to the hospital? On evangelism? No. But where did the hunger go to? It could be, most of the time, a bad company that you keep. So a refusal to act on the word of God is usually influenced by bad company. The fourth and the final one. Why don't people flow in the things of the Spirit? Because, watch this, they are not where they are demonstrated. You need to be in meetings. The things of the Spirit are not nouns. They are verbs. They are active things. All the gifts of the Spirit are active things. So you need to be where they function. Now, I say this like this. There is nothing that is working in my life today as a believer, as a minister of the gospel, that I did not get in a meeting. There's nothing. None. And that's why there are meetings I don't miss in my life. I'll talk about this in the second service, on laying on of hands. You know, I go to a particular meeting yearly, and I just make sure hands are laid on me. There was a one like that, they called for healing. I didn't have any, I wasn't sick. So I said, why did you go? Oh. Sit down there. Now you get the hand. Is it not God? Me, I know what I want. So he is not asking for sickness. I have no sickness. After all, I mean, it's the gift of God. The woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment. He wasn't planning to pray for her. Amen. So you must honor what God honors. Come to that in the second service. So you must be around the meetings. The meetings. Now, what does the Spirit do? What would he do? The first thing is, you are the temple of God. Say, I'm the temple of God. Say, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. I don't think I can say, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Say, Lala, can I say, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let that dawn on you. So what, if you are the temple of the Spirit, then you'll find out what does he do. Now in this service, I want to just pay attention to some things. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Now, he says in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So the first thing, the Holy Ghost does diverse things. Hallelujah. Say diverse things. Now, some of us, we just have a one-way traffic with the Holy Ghost. One-way traffic. Some of us, all we know is rejoicing. That's a one-way traffic. Some, it's just tongues and interpretation, one-way traffic. Some, all we know is that when hands are laid on us, fall under the power, one-way traffic. But you know, there are diverse things. Diversities. You can have all of that and much more. There are diversities. And so, don't have a one-way, like they say in the world, a binary, you know, thinking. Or is it linear now? One way thinking. Say there are diversities. Now look at 5. There are diversity of operations. Look at 6 again. There are a key thing about the Holy Ghost. Some of us, all we have about the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. Not even interpretation. For me, as a believer, for many years, I just spoke in tongues. I couldn't interpret it. I just speak in tongues. And they will tell me that it's Satan that is confused. But it's not true. I was also confused. So I just speak in tongues. But thank God for information. So there are diversities. There are diversities. Diversities. In the things of... Look at 7. But the manifestation. The manifestation. So, what does the Holy Ghost do? There is a manifestation. Manifestation is for something to be fully open. Actually, in the original Greek, it means naked. There's nothing you cannot see. There's nothing you cannot take. The manifestation of the Spirit, look at verse 7, is given to pastors. Is that what you have? Given to who? Every man. Do we qualify?
Yes, sir.
Do we qualify?
Yes, sir.
Do we qualify?
Yes, sir.
So manifestation means everything is available. Say everything,
everything
is available.
Right.
Now, why do we say with me? I'll tell you now. You see, words give direction to the things of God. Words give direction to the move of the Spirit. Words give direction to the power of God. So don't just say it ceremoniously. Say it because you believe it. Say the things of the Spirit are available to me and for me today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So now Paul mentions 9 things. 9. Now he mentions tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. People like Kenneth Hagin, Howard Carter, F.W. Boswell, pardon me, they've told us that is the utterance gifts. That is, gifts that say something. Tongues. Subject of tongues, prophecy. Now the second set, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the sign of spirits. And those ones, I'm coming back to that, they show you something. The second set. There's a third set, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and gifts of faith. Those ones do something. So when it comes to the utterance gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, they say something. They say something. Now, we have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the sign of spirits, they show something. We have the gift of faith, the workings of miracles, and the gifts of healings. Those ones do something. But look at verse 11. Let's take it together. Verse 11. But all these worketh the one. Let's go again. So what? The manifestation is for who? Every man. The working is for who? Every man. Hallelujah. Say,
I have the manifestation
I have the diverse workings of the Spirit. So watch this. Let's focus on three, which is the revelation gifts. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit also shows us things. Say, He shows me things. It gives you information. Information you didn't have before. Information you didn't have before. The Spirit gives you information. The entire Bible is filled with that pattern. Whether it's Adam, whether it's to Noah, whether it's to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, God shows people things. Joseph knew events ahead of time. Abraham knew events ahead of time. Isaac knew events ahead of time. Adam knew events ahead of time. So there was none of them that was a perfect person anyway. Noah knew events ahead of time. Abraham knew events ahead of time. Moses saw events ahead of time. It's a pattern of God to show you things. Say, God shows me things. Say, God shows me things. God gives me information. Now, that is information you didn't have before. Now, why does He give you that information? Number one, He shows you His plan. Number one. Number two, He helps you to bless other people. So God shows you things. He shows people things. He showed Samuel something. He showed Eli. He shows people. He showed Joshua. He shows people things. He shows people things. Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Chapter 9 actually. 1 Samuel chapter 9. And there are people here, for example, you doubt it because you don't think that He could talk to you that clearly. Hallelujah. But you know it's very clear. Hallelujah. You really, maybe sometimes you know, you are used to something spectacular, particularly the movies you watched when you were young, that God's voice is like this. So when you don't hear, 1 Corinthians 9. That's it. First Samuel, can you imagine? See what you got? Can you see? Can you see what? You see? You see? You see what I'm saying? Yeah? First Samuel 9. Now look at what the Lord said to Samuel about Saul. Verse 15. Let's read it together. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear. A day before Saul came, saying, hold on. Saul didn't know Samuel. Samuel didn't know Saul. He told him in his ear. Hallelujah. That means he spoke literally to him. You could hear it. A day before he came. A day before he came. Say, my ears are open.
My ears are open.
My ears are open. No, you know the ear we're talking about is spiritual, right? Now, a day before he came, tomorrow, about this time, I will send you a man out of the land of Benjamin. He didn't know him before. And thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, and that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. So, when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, the same will reign over my people. So, he didn't show him something. Listen very well. If he had showed him, he would have said, that's the guy. He just described it to him in hearing. So, there are many of us, we think that revelation must be seen first. Mm-mm. You can just hear it. I know that in this service, we have abundance of revelation. You don't have to see it. You can what? Just hear it. You know, it was when he now physically saw it, that's the person. He spoke to him. So, revelation doesn't have to be by sight. So, some of you are doubting God spoke to you because you didn't see anything. No, He spoke to you. He did. And He speaks regularly. In this service, He will speak to you about someone's needs. About someone else. He will. Now, naturally, I don't want to be the one to start. I don't know. I just usually get, because usually, people, when you do like, as a pastor, when you start doing that, people will start pulling on you. So I usually refrain. Amen. But He will speak to your ears. You will hear it. You hear it. And even after today, you see, always pay attention. When you are praying for someone, ministering to someone, usually there is an intervention by the Holy Ghost that makes the job easier. Some of us sometimes can just be stereotyped. Sometimes we're just stiff. You just go, so what do you say? If you just pay some more attention, I do that often. Usually I just pray in the Holy Ghost a bit more. To say, something the person is not saying, I'll hear it. Almost 100%. Because I would have said it. I said, well, I knew it. I started speaking, I heard it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have revelation in this house. We have revelation in this house. We have revelation in this house. God will show us things. He will tell us things. The gifts of the Spirit are working in us now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next few minutes. Say it now, in the next few minutes, we have a free flow of revelations in this place. The next few minutes, we yield ourselves to the revelation gifts, to the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is the gifts of the Spirit that gives us information about the past or the present. The word of wisdom is the gift of the Spirit that gives us information about the future. We have both working with us now. The sending of Spirit is the gift of the Spirit that causes us to hear, perceive, see things in the realm of the Spirit. We see supernatural beings by the help of the Holy Ghost. In the next few minutes, we give ourselves over to the things of the Spirit, to hear, perceive the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray the Holy Ghost song. Just for a minute. It's an act of our will. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just watch. I want to give you a practical class. Now when I say stop, you don't stop praying the Holy Ghost. You just reduce your tempo. Is that clear? Now, usually like that in a Holy Ghost meeting, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you will now begin to have information. Unexpected information. Now, it's not necessarily for somebody besides, because that's not even the point. Now, you now wonder, what's this about? What's this for, really? You will find out in the course of the meeting what it's about. But the key issue for most of us is to be sensitive. Sensitivity means to be aware. You know, it's like, imagine if you are driving and you're not looking at the traffic lights. You know, that's all. All you needed to do was just to look up. You just drove past and they stop. So sensitivity means that you are just alert, that you are looking around. Now, if you are not sensitive, you will not know what was being said to you. So being sensitive means to be conscious, just to be alert. Okay, and see, there's no guesswork. You're a person of faith. It's God talking to you. Is that clear? You're a person of faith. We walk in the faith of God. We believe. Amen. Is that clear? So let's pray in the Holy Ghost a bit more.